This is N1MFC. Go ahead. We're in Manchester, New Jersey.
MC-12, this is some loud standout. You got N2IEE? My name is John. Now I'm in Harrison.
Oh, you're in Harrison. Okay, that's in, work. Okay, well, I'm new to New Jersey. I just moved here from Connecticut. We couldn't afford where we were before in Fairfield County. And my cousin lives up in Monmouth County, and I'm here in Ocean County. So, I was just talking to a friend of mine who's a ham from my area in Stamford, and he says he monitors, or he's on this repeater a lot. So he was telling me about it, and I just wanted to see if it was Echolink capable, and it is. So my iPhone here, and yeah, you just put the node number in, and it connected just like that. Okay, back to you. I believe it was James. Okay, it's Andrew on this end, N1MFC. Back to you.
Okay, Andrew, my name is John, and my town, Harrison, is in New Jersey. I'm between Newark and Jersey City. I'm by exit 15W, well, to New Jersey Turnpike, or a couple miles east of exit 145 up the Parkway. He was just kind of burying where I am. Yeah, we're down in the Manchester Township. You're down by Thomas River, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I could tell you're obviously coming through on the RF side, so yeah, there's no problem. You sound good. Yeah, that's north of me, and I'm assuming that exit 145, that's off the Garden State. Well, okay, I'm down here by exit 80. Tom's River is probably about a half a mile away from me. It's funny because I can, with this gated community that I'm in, if I go out the Route 37 side and head south, that's Tom's River right there, and at the same time, if I go out the other gate on the Route 70 side and go north, I'm also in Tom's River, so that's just the way it works. And I hike the beach here, so not bad. John. All right, I didn't quite catch the call. It's not showing up. Oh, that's right. You're not connected. So, yeah, just give me your call again for the ID. This is N1MFC back.
Andrew, is it Mike Sierra Bravo? You can tell me on the next call. My call is November 2, India Echo Echo. And Route 70, huh? You're down in one of the wrinkled cities there, we used to call it. Are you in Lion's Head? Is that one of the things, Lion's Gate or Lion's Head? One of those cities?
Well, I've lived here for about, probably a good year now, and a couple of months. That name doesn't ring a bell. Are you familiar with this area at all, or do you know any of the streets here in Tom's River?
Just the main drags. I used to drive a truck, and I'd be down that way making the, I'd learn building supplies, roofing, siding, lumber, etc. I'd be down that way. I got robbed as they lived down in Bayville and Manahawkin. So, otherwise, Andy, no, not really. In a year. I guess you know about the links, right? The W2NJR link there that goes through the state. And, that's really about it. All right, I'll let you say hello. Maybe someone else wants to work here, so, I'll cut you loose. We're always out here. There's a whole nice bunch of people on this machine. Tomorrow night there's a TechNet at 9 o'clock. Okay? So, you're doing nothing, stop by again. A couple people do check in on Echolink. I run Echolink too. 73 for now. N1, MSB, M2IEE. Take care, Andy.
They've been real good, Andy. Andy, can you hear me on the on that frequency? KE1IS.
A friend of mine was telling me that this ham radio is going. It's taking off like wildfire. It's going to be a bigger thing than D-Star now. Motorola Turbo and all of that. Good stuff. So, alright, well, we can talk about that another time. That would be something interesting, especially to have on a net. Well, we'll see about tomorrow night and how it all goes. Good talking to you, John. N2IEE from N1MFC, 72.
73, Andy.
N1MFC, disconnected. Connected N2BHZ repeater.
KM4GHN, listening? KM4GHN, testing, monitoring. KM4GHN, testing, testing, requesting audio evaluation.
Hey, this is N2VHC, and here in Nebraska. You sound good, man.
I'm using a very modestly priced earbud with a stealth microphone on the cord with a older Yaesu HT. It works pretty good, I think.
Well, your audio's outstanding. It sounds like it always does. It sounds clear. Hopefully you can hear me fine. It's making it into the repeater very good.
Well, I'm walking up a big hill from the train station. Just got home from work. That's a little toy and just wanted to test it real quick. I'll be quietly monitoring the test tonight. Thanks for your comeback. Nebraska, over.
Yeah, it's Ken out here. My name's Ken. I'm out here in Nebraska, and I'm on the home QTH now. I'm not at work. So I'm using my handheld in the house, and the repeater's about 20 feet away. The repeater antenna's about 20, 25 feet away. So I'm here, man. 73. See you later. N2BHC, Nebraska. Bye-bye.
Got echoing on your repeater.
Response. I was just testing this little toy to see if I should throw it away or not. It sounded good on my radio, but... you gotta have somebody far away. 73, KM4GHN, side.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, what's going on? Who's this?
It's John, N2IEE. Good evening. Do you have Echo Link on your repeater?
Yeah, man, that's how I'm talking to you right now. Sure do, John.
What is, what's your repeater call sign? Is that yours?
Yeah, my repeater call sign is November 2 Victor Hotel Zulu, same as my call sign, but on Echolink they put a hyphen and an R behind it, N2VHZR. And my Echolink, node is 775-183, 775-183, I believe, or it could be 773-185, I don't remember because I don't dial it up, but, yeah, it's my call sign. That's my Echo Link note. Back to you.
Okay. I'm going to, every time I'll stop by and say hello. Hey.
Okay, that'd be nice. Thanks, man. And I put the MFJ99C, that roller inductor tuner, I put it on eBay just a couple hours ago. Because that other one, that YT1200 for our radios, that thing's so good, I don't need the manual tuner anymore. It's going by the wayside. I'm selling it on eBay. Back to you.
Stout. Maybe I'll catch you over the weekend, okay?
N2VHC. This is N2IEE. I think you're really clear anyway, Jay.
Okay, man. 73s. See you later. This is N2VHC. I'll be leaving the repeater on so I can monitor the tech net coming on in a little while. 73s.
N2VHS,
W82NDA. This is N2VHC. What's happening, Ed? Ken here in Nebraska. You get my email?
Negative. You're holding back the mail. Postage office. I'm enjoying your calendar. That's what's happening. And, I just checked out. Let me check, connect to you. We're also on W2SJR. And I heard you say TechNet. What time is your TechNet? Let me know. I'll disconnect, let you go, and I'll reconnect when the TechNet is on.
No, I think it comes on this repeater, though, and on the Armstrong Tower, you know, on this repeater right here that I'm on. I think it's called K2FJ. That's the call sign of this node that I'm on. It's like, it's, they having it there in North Jersey, and I listen to it from here. And what it is, it's, I think it starts in 45 minutes.
Again, you're on the Alpine Repeater Group there, huh? All right. Sure, okay, yeah, all right. We'll get you. Very, very fine. Okay, then maybe I'll just check into that if I can, if I have time. Ken, I didn't know that you were connected elsewhere also. But have a nice afternoon. Hope things are well. We got 2 inches of snow. It all got melted. 30-odd degrees. No wind. We got no complaints here in New Jersey.
Yeah, I saw that online. You know what I saw also? I saw up in Edgewater. They had a big fire in that apartment complex that they built up in Edgewater. The whole thing burned down. 200-some apartments burned down. 5-alarm fire up there. Hey, man, what, Ed, I wanted to ask you, this is what the email was about. What is that 80-meter net you go on every night? It's like on 80 meters. It's about 9 p.m. your local time. What time is that net that you go on, and what frequency is it? I'm going to see if I can tune it up. I've got a new external tuner for this radio that I just bought, and it works really, really good, and I'm able to get the antenna on that frequency. So I was curious, what is that frequency for your low-band net? Back to you.
Okay, every night, 9 o'clock, 3982. That's 3.982.50. Another 50 would put it at 83. Then we play around with 83. By the way, at night, we're on W1, if you can remember it, QBI. W1 QBI. That's the Florida Echo Link. But he's connected to all the guys up here in Jersey. We're getting up to the wee hours of the morning with them. So you may want to join that, W1QBI. Well, I tried to connect to you last night, but you were off. So I think I did bring you in there one time. Carry on, my friend. Have a nice afternoon. I hope the family's well. Everyone's well here, and we're just taking a day at a time. So till later, Ken, enjoy. W2NEA.
Hey, man. Excellent. Thank you for that information. That's what the email was about. 9 p.m. local time, 3.982.50 more, it would be 3.9830. Yeah, gotcha. So I'll see if I can tune up 3.982.50 at 9 p.m. and see what happens. See what you guys are talking about, if I can hear you over here in Nebraska. See you later, man. 9 p.m. your local time is a couple of minutes from now. What, 45 minutes? About 73s.
Yeah, it's just about enough time for me to go up outside, have a smoke, and get back down here. Yeah, it's a little bit far, but you never know. Now, if you listen, you know, you may say, hey, you know, I hear these guys. All right, Ken. Got a frog in my throat. You have a nice afternoon. Have a nice evening. We'll catch you later. VA Jet, WA2NEA, saying 73, solid hour.
73 is enjoy the weather. We sent it to you from Nebraska.
Signs that begin with whiskey. May I have check-ins, please?
Good evening, Randy. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, New York, and just listening this evening.
Very good. Gotcha, Jim. Thank you. Nice and clear. Any other whiskeys?
This is Whiskey 2, Juliet, Echo, Kilo, Don. Have any comment?
Excellent, Don. We have you on the list for a comment. Any more whiskey stations? Okay, no more whiskey stations at the moment. Let's go to stations beginning with November, please.
This is November 2, Oscar Echo Lima. One question.
Very good, Noel. I have you down for a question. Are there any other November stations?
This is November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu Enter VHC. My name is Ken, Kilo Echo November. I'm located in Alliance, Nebraska. I'm just listening. Back to net.
Very good, Ken. I've got you checked in. Thank you very much. And thanks for checking in from so far away. Are there any other November stations? Okay, nothing heard. Stations beginning with the letter Alpha, please check in. Okay, nothing heard. Stations beginning with Kilo 2, just Kilo 2, no other letters in the prefix, please check in. Okay, small net tonight, I guess. Any Kilo stations at all, please check in.
Evening, this is Kilo Delta 2, Foxtrot Tango Alpha. Name here is Alex, Oak Ridge, New Jersey, with a question.
Very good, Alex. I have you on the list with a question. Are there any other Kilo stations?
KM4GHN, monitoring from Dobbs Ferry, New York.
Oh, and your name, sir?
Sorry, my name is Mitch, M-I-T-C-H, and that's KM4 Golf Hotel November.
I got it now, Mitch. Thank you very much. I remember from the last couple of weeks, and thanks for checking in again this week. Are there any other Kilo stations? Are there any stations at all with any call sign? Please come now and call to check in.
November 1,
listening. Okay, I have Stuart, N1STU, Sierra Tango uniform, is that correct?
Got it.
Very good, Stu, thank you. Are there any other stations wishing to check in?
WA2QBC, Bruce, no traffic.
Okay, Bruce, got you, thank you. Are there any other stations wanting to check in?
Alpha Echo 2 Kilo. Name is Eric in Riverdale, New York. Just listening. If I have a comment, I'll add it. Over.
Excellent. Got you, Eric. Thank you very much for checking in. Are there any other stations wishing to check in?
WI2W.
Very good. Gotcha, Steve. Anybody else want to check in? One more time. Any other stations wishing to check in to the Bureau of Technical Net, please come now. Okay. Well, thank you and good evening to everybody. I appreciate you checking in. And there's a number of things to cover today. Before we get to our first commenter, I wanted to share with the net something that a local ham pointed out to me recently. He's Zach, KC2RSS, and he's an engineering student at Drexel. And when we got together last week, he pointed to an interesting site called Digilent. Vigilent, and they have a very inexpensive piece of test equipment that's really targeted mostly at students and instructors, but anyone can buy them at a slightly higher price. And it's sort of a low-powered or a low-bandwidth oscilloscope and a logic probe and spectrum analyzer and a variety of other things that would be handy if you want to do some experimenting but don't want to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars getting a suite of test equipment. So I commend this to the group, and I will put the link in the notes that we'll post on the ComTech group on the Yahoo group later. Anybody have any questions about this piece of test equipment?
WA2UMP with a question.
Go ahead, Jim.
How much did you say that it costs so we can get a general idea if we can afford it?
Excellent question. I'm doing this from memory because I'm not looking at the site at the moment, but I believe it's $279 for non-academic people. Yes, I'm looking at the site now. The tool is called Analog Discovery, and if you're not a college student, it's $279. If you are a student, it's only $99. You can see why it's fairly attractive to people. And it includes two 100 mega samples per second 5 megahertz differential oscilloscopes, two waveform generators, two fixed power supplies, a 16-channel logic analyzer, and it's USB powered. So again, this is not going to compare to a Tektronix scope or HP or Agilent piece of equipment, but it's certainly very usable and portable for learning a lot of stuff. The site again is digilent.com. Does that help, Jim?
Yeah, it does. And my daughter's a graduate student. I think I can afford the $99, so something to look into.
Absolutely. Apparently they have other things here on the site, but this is the one that was brought to my attention. It certainly looked like an intriguing little affordable piece of test equipment. Any other comments, Jim?
No, just something interesting to look into, Randy. Thank you.
Very good. Does anybody else have any comments or questions on the test equipment? Okay, nothing heard. How about if we go to Don, W2JEK, and your comments, sir?
Okay, thank you, Randy. Good evening, everybody. K2BAR and Annette, W2JEK. Yeah. Barra's next VE test session will be held on Friday, February 20th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And that's in classroom 123. And if you're coming there, you go in the... I've been there before. You go to the driveway, that's the entrance driveway on the side of the school, not the one in the middle, but the exit. Right across the front of the school, past the stop sign, and you'll see a parking lot. It goes out in the back, and there's a doorway in there that faces the street. That's the place to go. You'll need some kind of positive ID, one photo ID, such as a driver's license or a passport, and or two non-photo IDs, the $15 test fee, have a license, you'll need your social security number, or an FRN number that you'll have to get from the FCC. Those people who are upgrading should bring their license and a copy of the license. So when you fill out your form, you'll be using a FRN number that's on that license. And you may bring a calculator, the memory must be empty. iPod, cell phones, and other devices may not be used as a calculator. Back to that, W2JK.
Hey, good, Don. Thank you very much for that information, and all you and the other volunteer examiners do to get people into the into amateur radio and upgrade as well. I really appreciate the effort. Are there any questions for Don about the VE testing? Hey, nothing heard, Don. Any further comments to add?
One thing I'd like to add is it's not too well publicized in the amateur world, but I have the license of the general, advanced, or extra class. It has expired. It's beyond the 2-year grace period. You can get it back without having to take those exams just by taking the current technician exam. And also people who will have a technician license that was granted before March 21st, 1987 can do a paper upgrade, because the written exam at that point, before 18th, that March date, was general. You can get a paper upgrade at a test session to general instead of an technician. If you have any questions, get in touch with me. Back to that, W2JEK.
Great, thank you. Those are all important points, and you're right, people do forget about them. Certainly want to encourage people to get into the hobby, and if in or were in at one point, continue to move along and upgrade if possible. One last call. Any other questions or comments on amateur radio exams? Okay, nothing heard. Then let's move on to Noel with your question, sir.
Yes, I'm coming in on EchoLink. What I just did today was my friends installed, let's go back a little bit. I'm in an HOA community in Florida, and I bought an Alpha Delta TXCC40, which is a loaded 40-meter antenna, fan dipole, full-size on 15 and 20, and, oh, I'm sorry, not 15. 10 and 20, and it's used in the 40-meter section for 50. Anyways, we put it up in the attic. We only have about 2.5 feet crawl space, so we hung it down about 6 inches. Unfortunately, my preferred operating position is at one end of the house, the long end. So what's happening is the antenna runs basically over my head. I'm at one end of the antenna. That means the feed line runs parallel to one whole leg and only about 3 feet away. So what I did is I used Palmer Engineering ferrites. They have they recommend for 40 and up 5 ferrites, and for 160 they're recommending 10 ferrites. So right at the feed point, since there is no bound or anything there, I put 10 ferrites, and then every 14 feet, I put 5 ferrites to break up the length. Hopefully that'll work. Now, I think 14 feet is one of the lengths that's non-resident on any amateur, as far as I can tell. I haven't swept it yet. I haven't hooked it up. I haven't done anything yet, other than we installed it. I also put another coax up there for a UHF-VHF antenna. I'm using Times Cable UltraFlex 240. That's about the size of a RG58, a quarter inch. And it's 100% shielded with the aluminum shield and the regular shield. Does that sound like a good installation? Back to Ned.
Very good, Noel. Thanks for sharing the installation with us. Did anybody have any comments for Noel on what he did and what he's trying to accomplish?
UA2UMP with a comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Noel, I still have, I don't have it hooked up right now, the Alpha Delta, the 80-meter version, that was 80 through 10, and I used it in my old house in the attic, and it worked very well. For 40 meters, I had to put it into a rectangle, so it formed like a half-wave loop, and that kind of lengthens it, so that resonated at about 3.5 megahertz. Everything else resonated just the way it should be. Your installation sounds very good. I would not worry too much. Indoor antennas are compromised. It'll work. It'll work fairly well. I wouldn't worry too much about the coax that's running parallel to the antenna. And the beads that you put on it should give you some protection about RF getting back into the coax. So try it out and enjoy it, and don't worry about it being perfect. It'll probably work well.
Thank you, Jim. Noel, any response to Jim's comment?
Thank you, Jim. In addition, it appears that I have enough cable length at the end where the rig is that I'm going to put several turns to do if it's relatively flexible to make a loose RF choke out of the coax itself. For a ground system, we got really sandy soil. I mean, it's like being in South Jersey. So I don't know how far the water table is. Went to Lowe's, bought myself a 40-foot piece, 6-gauge bare copper wire, and 3 ground rods and a clamp. And what I'm going to do is, right outside the room where the operating position is, I'm going to bring in, from the one side of the house, I'll bring in one copper wire going to one ground rod, and then one ground rod right at where I'm coming in the window, and then on the other side of the house, another ground rod, and then the copper wire runs around about another 8 feet or so to the water faucet. So my ground is going to be 3 ground rods, and this was built in 1988, so all the copper pipes, they're all copper or steel going into the ground. What I have coming out for the outside water faucet is steel, so I figure I hope to have some sort of a reasonable ground system. Back to Ned.
Thank you, Noel. Anybody on the net with any additional comments?
WI2W.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Noel. Nice to hear your voice. And I'm sure it's warmer where you are than where we are. In any event, when tuning the antenna, you know, adjusting the ends of the antenna for resonance on 40, it's very tricky, so only and very touchy, so only like a half an inch or an inch of wire at a time. And the one that I put up outside for Junsu had about a 40 or 50 kilohertz bandwidth, so you need to pick the part of the band you want to operate in and adjust it for there. Of course, if you have a tuner in your radio, that'll help matters too. But it's very tricky, very small adjustments on the ends of that one on 40 meters, loaded and loaded clear near the end. Back to net, K2BAR, WITW.
Thank you, Steve, for that advice. Are there any other comments on the net?
Kim, 4GHN.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Just an FYI, the DIGILENT URL is a dead link. You have to add an INC to it. But it looks like a fascinating device. I'm going to be reading for a while. Over.
Excellent, Mitch. Thank you for that correction. I failed to see that when I typed it in, but I appreciate that. Getting back to Noel's installation, are there any other comments on his new antenna system?
WA2.
November 2, Victor Hotel, Zulu.
Let's take Jim first and then Ken. Jim, go ahead.
One comment on the ground. The ground sounds like a good electrical ground. Since you have a balanced dipole, you probably won't need much of an RF ground. So ground that you have sounds very good. Think of it as electrical ground. And that since the dipole is balanced, no RF ground is really needed. Back to net.
Very good. Before we get to Ken, I'm glad that Noel and Jim both brought up the idea of grounding and a ground rod. Something I wanted to share with the net that I saw recently on YouTube, a very fascinating video that ran, I think it was about 40 minutes or so, and it's, I don't remember the exact title, but I'll put the link in the notes that we'll post on the ComTech group. What you can search for on YouTube is a man named Mike Holt, that's Hotel Oscar Lima Tango, and he has a video on ground rod testing. Now, mind you, he's talking about the ground rods that you'd put in, for the service entrance, and he's doing this in a situation similar to Noel's, where the soil is very poor and not very conductive. It looked like he might be doing this in a place like Texas or some place in the Southwest. Anyway, without getting into the details of it, the upshot is that he and his work partner were doing some actual measurements on the resistance and the conductivity of a ground rod, or actually a pair of ground rods that they had put in using industry standard test methods. And they did this in a series where they lengthened the ground rod by 10-foot increments. They started out with a 10-foot ground rod, and then drove another 10-foot extension, so it was 20 feet in the ground, 30, 40, and then they ended up with 50 feet of ground rod in the ground, and showed you all the measurements of this. And if you've ever seen this before and why it's important to have good grounding and what it takes to achieve it, I think you might be interested in the video. Why don't we go over to Ken now? You had a comment, sir? Number two, Victor Hotel Zulu. Ken, did you have a comment on Noel's installation?
Yeah, I have to wait for the repeater to drop. It's not dropping where I can get in on it through EchoLink, so I had to, there's a delay there. Let me see if I have it. Okay, very good. I'll have a question. Is this dipole that he's describing, I was curious if it was fed from coax directly to ladder line, and if so, that's my question. Is it fed that way? If so, it should have what they call an air core choke ballon. It's a it's like a lazy ballon with it's 10 turns around a 6-inch form. I've made them around coffee canisters of small ones. 10 turns of coax, single layer, 10 turns around a coffee canister, a plastic one, a non-conductive core of about 4 to 6 inches, and that'll break up any TBI coming back through that'll emanate from the cable on the coax. It has to be done on the coax. If it's fed coax to ladder line, that air ballon will break up any TBI problems you may have. Back to net.
Connected N2OEL. Connected N2OEL.
Yeah, thank you for your comments, Ken. I really appreciate it. Noel, do you have any responses to the suggestions and comments that have been made?
Thank you, Randy. Ken, I did the same thing in a different fashion. Palomar Engineering sells these ferrites. Basically, I made a one-to-one balance right at the feed point by putting 10 of these ferrites on, which will stop any feed line current, they claim, down to 160 meters. So it should be fine for 4210. Jim Joyce had suggested that I try 80 and 160 with this antenna. I do have an internal tuner and an external tuner. I will try, just for the heck of it. That's why I put 160 meters choke at the feed point. And the ferrites every 14 feet hopefully break the coax into non-resonant light. I have enough coax next to the radio that I'm going to do what you suggest with an air core, but that will be closer to the rig. Because I can reach that, I can't go up into the attic anymore, which is really a 2.5 foot crawl space, so there's lots of crawling going on. So I will do that, but not at the feed point. I'm doing it at the rig side. Back to that, this is N2O.
Excellent, Noel. Thank you very much. Let's see, let's just ask Ken if you had any response to Noel's comments.
Yeah, very good. Now, we're on the same sheet of music, exactly. So, we're both thinking the same way, and that was, my method was the cheapo alternative method, and he went the more scientific method. So, he knows my method, and he did his own method, which is tried and true. So now he knows everything. So there's nothing more I can say about it. I think it's going to work out perfect. He has the way to solve any of his problems now. I just wanted to throw that out there for information purposes. And I'm glad he understands all of that, and he's probably known it before I was born, actually. So just wanted to get that out there. I'll hand it back to Ned and to VHC from Alliance, Nebraska. Back over to you.
Thank you very much, Ken, for your comments, and Noel as well. And I think we on the net we've all learned or reminded ourselves of things from the help of these two gentlemen that there are certainly more than one way to skin a cat and more than one way to properly install a feed line so you don't get the RFI from the and getting RF into your shack. So. Thank you for your advice, your comments, and your practical construction ideas. Does anybody else have any comments about Noel's recent construction? Okay, nothing heard. Well, again, thank you very much for the informative discussion. And I think we'll move on now to Alex, KD2FTA. I believe you said you had a question. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, this is KD2FTA, and hello to everyone on the net tonight. It's always an informative net. Just throwing out the question, if anybody has had experience with ZEP antennas on HF. I have a limited space in which to put up an antenna. I do not want to put up a G5RV. A lot of folks have urged me to do that, but... there's some practical considerations that I got to take into account with a G5RV, so I was just wondering if there's been anybody out on the net this evening who can give some practical advice about the ZEP antenna. KD2FTA, back to net control.
Great question, Alex. Great question. I'm pretty sure there's at least two people on the net this evening that would like to comment on what you're trying to do. Are there any comments about Alex's question?
N2BHC.
Go ahead, Ken, with your comment.
Okay, very good. I used to run a ZEP antenna over in Europe for many years, and I can't remember the exact footage, but let's say 32 feet horizontal, and then it came down to a twin lead, a 450-ohm twin lead. And, of course, one side of the twin lead was not connected to anything, but to the feed point was connected on the shield side of a chassis mount SO239 connector. And the center feed going up the ladder line and out to the 32-foot horizontal section, that was soldered directly to the center of the SO239 chassis mount. And that was hanging outside. And I fed that with coax and with a, once again,
and fed it with a, what they call a lazy balance, a one-to-one air-wound balance, and it worked excellent. Excellent. Back to net.
Thank you, Ken, for sharing your practical experience with us. Are there any other responses to Alex's question about using a ZEP antenna?
WIQW?
Go ahead with your comments, Steve.
Hi, Alex. Not exactly a ZEP antenna, but an end-fed antenna anyway. If you check LNR Precision website, it's LNRPrecision.com, they have a variety of different end-fed antennas. Some are single-band, some are multi-band. They have one called the EF Quad, which is 10, 15, 20, and 40 meters, and that's good for up to 200 watts. And folks have had a lot of success with those antennas. LNR Precision bought the EndFeds antennas that Par Electronics pioneered. So they bought the distribution rights to that. So that's where the Par antennas went. I've had some success building my own transformers using a Type 43 core and playing around with half-wave antennas, end-fed half-wave antennas. And they work quite well. I've used them out in the field. And but you might start your research with LNR Precision. Now back to that.
Excellent. Thank you for your help, Steve. Does anybody else have any comments or experience with ZEP antennas that they'd like to share with the net this evening? Okay, maybe one final back to Alex with your thoughts on what you've heard so far this evening.
Hey, very good, very good. I appreciate the advice from the two stations that called. Steve was one. I'm sorry I didn't get the name of the other gentleman, but very good. Yeah, it's I always learn something new on this net, and it's always good. And so I appreciate, Steve, the LNR Precision.com website. I'll go take a look at that. I have been looking at some videos on YouTube regarding ZEPs, but, you know, my concern was RF coming back into the shack, and I understand a way of preventing that from happening, so I'm not too worried about that. But again, thank you all for your help. KD2FTA, back to net control.
Thank you, Alex. And yeah, and just for your reference, the other station that you referred to that who offered some advice is Ken, November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu in Alliance, Nebraska, coming to us via the Echolink hookup. Any final thoughts from anybody on ZEP antennas? Okay, well, thank you very much. Are there any late or missed check-ins for the net this evening?
This is Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie. I have nothing, just listening, over.
Very good, Jim. Thanks for checking in. Are there any other late or missed check-ins?
This is W2UTR. Uniform Tango Romeo, and I am just listening in.
Very good. Thank you for checking in. And your name, sir?
In that control, this is my name is Al, and I'm located in Jersey City. And I'm finding the discussions on the antennas, as I just tuned in, very informative, as I am in a downtown area.
Very good, Al. Well, thank you for checking in. I'm glad you're listening. I'm even happier that you're learning something. There's a lot of practical experience and theoretical knowledge as well here on the net. So please continue to check in, identify yourself, and participate in the discussions all you can to meet some of the people and learn from their experience. So thank you for being there. Anybody else that I might have missed or any late check-ins to the net? I think we went down our list of comments. comments and questions and cover them all, but in case somebody else thought of something or I've somehow missed it, is there anybody on the net with a comment or a question?
NCBHZ with a comment.
Go ahead, Ken, with your comment.
Okay, I'm mobile and I'm on a handheld right now, so maybe I'm not coming in as good as I did before. I wanted to say about the handset Zep. I ran one for many years, and because of the constraint I was under, and I wouldn't really buy one. I would build one. You could get 16 feet of, give or take a few inches, 16 feet of 450 ohm ladder line, and on one side of it, you hook up, you solder together 35, 36 feet of just open line, copper line, run that horizontal. You run the 16 feet of ladder line vertically. One side of it would be bonded to the horizontal that I just spoke of, and that goes to the center conductor of a chassis mount SO239 connector. The outside of the SO239, the shield side, goes to the other side of the 450 ohm ladder line, which would just be open for 16 feet. That acts as your counterpoise. When you hook up, you have to use that air-wound balun or a lazy balun, and that breaks TDI and what's coming back down the coax. And for just pennies, you could be on the air in moments by building it yourself in your backyard. Back to net.
KC2ASA disconnected.
Thank you very much for your comments, Ken. I appreciate that, and that should help Alex as well. And Alex, just for your information, if you want to give Ken's idea for construction for a try, I will cheerfully supply you with the 16 or so feet of 450 ohm ladder line. I've got sort of the tail end of a spool that's been sitting here for a while gathering dust, and I'd be happy to give it to somebody who might want to put it to good use. You can contact me at whiskeyuniform2sierra@arrl.net if you think you want it. Are there any other comments on the net this evening? Well, nothing heard. If there isn't anything else, I'd like to make one final comment. As you know, I've been very interested and active in participating in mesh networking over the last, about 2 years now. And this past year, particularly the second half of 2014, was extremely active. We got an update.